The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
From the 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. hour, we will only use the words ass, damn, hell, and
breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling with your host, Tim Stein.
The name's Bone. James Bone.
Mace.
Sorry about that, I tuned out there for a moment.
Omega.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Utter one more syllable and I'll have you killed.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Joe. I'm in five halls of fate. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar, Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR. Sunday night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The kid you can't get. The kid.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tonight we preview NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Looking forward to that, as every NXT event seems to be awesome. I don't think this one's going to be any different. But there's a lot more to talk about. So, to begin, I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am here, and for some reason, somebody was able to break into our chat room this week and kidnap a certain Japanese New Zealand guy and teleport him into my bedroom for this edition of WTR Sunday Night. I have Nick Vitti with me live in the so-called studio.
How are you doing, folks?
He needs to be more excited.
I'm sorry, that's not my fault.
More emotion.
Mace, you need to get him more excited.
I've got him eating bread rolls and drinking bottles of Coke. It's about the best I can do.
I can
shovel Skittles into his mouth. That's about as far as we got.
I saw what you did, Omega.
To become more excited.
Anyway.
And as always, and as usual, he probably regrets picking up the Skype call, the one and only Tim Stein.
Everything was going great until right after you said good evening. Just saying.
Good night, everybody.
I didn't say good evening.
Did you say hello to the people?
That's part of the intro.
Well, then I paraphrased you saying good evening. Everything was great until right after you finished saying hello.
How many years have I been doing that intro and you didn't remember what words I used?
I wasn't trying to be specific with anything, Omega.
Okay, all right.
You're just saying it went downhill from there, that's all.
I'm just saying after you kicked off, then it went downhill. And, it's WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, so you can expect to continue going downhill. It's like a roller coaster, only there's no roller, just coaster.
This is very true. But Tim, we have stuff to give away tonight.
We have a major announcement to make as far as giving shit away.
We do.
Major giveaway announcement.
Yeah, we're not saying what it is right this second. Yeah, wait.
Well, you know, if you follow Twitter and Facebook, you might have a clue.
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's just say that there's going to be more than one prize given away after SummerSlam.
Yes.
I was just waiting for Omega to chime in and join with you guys, but he didn't.
I'm indifferent.
Maybe.
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 Oh, boy.
God.
Gonna be one of those shows.
Hi, kids. Welcome to WTR, Sunday Night with Stock Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's me, your host. What's my name again?
Oh, my God, it's finally happened. He's gotten so old, he forgot his own name.
So this is.
You're welcome for me opening the door for you to be able to. You've been wanting to do that for 5 years, Mace. I finally let you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Since day one, Tim. Over 10 years, I've been waiting for this moment.
Now, at this point, we have to help him spell it out. So it's T-I-double-M-Y.
No. T to the I-double-M-Y-S-T-E-I-N, if you will. That's right. It's Tim Stein here. Right here on Watara Radio Network, if you will. And that's
well, the O-L-D-E-O-N-E.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Network. I was hoping you would ignore it, but thanks anyway.
It, like Rock said, it's going to be one of those shows.
Oh, my God. You and Diddy been drinking, haven't you?
No. Diddy's been sober for 2 years, and I've been sober for a few hours.
Okay. Well, if that was the case of Diddy's a teetotaler, then I take back the accusation that he's been drinking.
All right, then.
I'm just saying. I mean, if he's 420 friendly, that's none of my business.
Too many years in Japan, Tim.
There you go. Yeah, well, they got some weird shit happening over there, so. Anyway, welcome to the program, Nick. Nice of you. Join us via Skype cell phone.
They're not on a cell phone, Tim.
Pleasure's all mine.
You're not on a cell phone yet?
The cell phone issues have been avoided since my internet got fixed in the time between, oh, shit, it's fucked, and now.
Oh, look, it's working. Oh, shit, it's fucked. Oh, really? Good, it's working. Here we go. Fair enough. Well, okay, Nick, you've been listening to the program long enough. You know that we start off with win or fail, and seeing as you're guest co-hosting, I'm going to throw you in the deep end right off the bat and ask you what your win for the week was in WWE.
My win was New Day booking. I think taking three guys, Xavier, Kofi, and Big E, and obviously they were all doing pretty well as mid-carders, and then putting them into this group together and initially starting them off as faces was obviously a disaster, but like from now it was, watch this! And the dancing, I mean, like, they've turned this terrible gimmick into something that heaps and heaps of people are enjoying and makes Monday Night Raw that much more enjoyable to watch.
All right, there you go. Nick Diddy's one for the week. New Day booking. Mace, how about you? What's your win?
Well, mine's pretty much paraphrasing Nick's win for this week. Mine is New Day's dancing after they won this week, because frankly, who doesn't like to see jolly black men dancing?
New Day dancing, that's a new one. All right, there you go. Omega, your one for the week.
Not the black men dancing. No. Let's keep it.
Black dancing men?
No.
Men
no.
in tights? Do you like Robin Hood?
No. Yes, but no.
Didn't mean to confuse you, sorry.
No, going with Stephen Amell.
Oh, you like that segment.
I really like that segment.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody was actually going to pick that one. Now, he was supposed to be like, you know, a guest host or something like that for Raw. But he sat in the crowd as a fan. That was a little bit different, don't you?
Was he actually announced as guest host?
Star.
Well, guest star.
Yeah.
Different than host.
They stopped announcing people as guest stars or guest hosts a long time ago, I guess. But, yeah, you get celebrities attending Raw events all the time, and they put the camera on them, but it's never been a big deal made of it. However, this is all leading up to a match at SummerSlam, and there's no getting around it or anything like that. Did you expect him to be in the crowd, or did you expect him to actually do backstage stuff before we see him in the arena or anything else like that?
I kind of expected him to do what guest stars normally do, which is come out, you know, say hi to the crowd, you know, shamelessly shill something and get into some kind of altercation with some WWE standard heel.
Yeah.
You know.
Which he sort of did, but without the shilling in the middle.
Yeah, which is kind of a different approach for them. Like, aside from the promo afterwards where Triple H kept dropping Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was a fan of it. Like, he's obviously into it. It's good that they got someone who's a WWE fan who does his own stunts.
Yeah.
So, like, when he jumped the rail and then jumped the top rope to get in the ring, I was completely believed that he was ready to kill Stardust.
Well, it looked really good, and you could tell that he has been working. I mean, yeah, again, you mentioned it. He does do most of his own stunts on his TV show. He does have a stand-in and a stunt double, but they only do the exceedingly boring or damn deadly dangerous stuff. He does everything else, and him clearing that top rope, that's no small feat to jump over a rope, jump over the top rope into a ring. I mean, it looks easy, and Mace, I'm sure you jumped over the top rope once or twice yourself.
Yeah, and then fell flat on my face because I can't jump that high, but
yeah,
sure.
There you go.
It's like, you're the thing I remember, Stephen Amell does, like we said, he does a lot of his own stunts.
Yep.
So you see what that guy goes through when he does episodes of Arrow. Jumping over the top rope, he does make it look easy because to him it is easy.
Well, what's that type of exercising called? John Morrison did it too. The
parkour.
Type of parkour, that's it. I do believe that Stephen Amell is heavily into parkour. I think I read that the other day, that he partakes in parkour.
Yeah, I think he does that, and he also does that CrossFit bullshit.
Yeah. But there have been a couple of occasions in Canadian All-Pro where I've, whatever the setup for the angle was for the storylines we were doing, I was required to either jump into the ring or jump out of the ring, depending on what the situation was. And, sure, okay, I'm old. Right, thank you very much. But I'm not exactly out of shape. However, even when I was riding a bicycle every day, keeping my legs in good shape, it was still not an easy thing. And once or twice, I almost caught the top rope and face planted. So, having him clear it with a good, what it looked like he had a good, like, foot and a half to spare between his feet and the ropes. Easily. So, that was definitely a feel-good moment, Stephen Amell. Rushing the ring. My win for the week actually was the three-man match to determine the number one contender for the main event for Monday Night Raw. It's really nice that they're actually giving a couple of wrestlers an actual like shot or at least some time, and guys who you're used to seeing lose for a year starting to win matches when it counts. And of course, Cesaro didn't win Monday. Randy Orton did. But the fact that they're starting to get, highlighted a little bit more, I think, is a really, really huge step in the right direction. That's one thing about the Attitude Era, is WWF/E back then had an extremely strong, extremely solid mid-card. And a lot of the time, the crowd would go to the live events to watch the middle of the shows and not the main events or the openers, because the mid-card was so incredibly strong. And you had guys swapping out from the mid-card to the main event and back and forth, so it wasn't stale with the same old all the time. And if WWE can just do that on an ongoing, bring that back and do it again on a more ongoing basis, I think that they'll bring back a couple of viewers that they may have lost over the years. But that's my one for the week. Omega, what's your fail?
To be announced.
Oh God, will you research quicker? You know this question's coming up.
I'm sorry. I've got things going on. I literally forgot that there was a follow up.
Oh my goodness. All right, Mace, what's your fail for the week?
I've got Rusev versus Mark Henry down, mainly because it shows how they've sort of pushed Rusev aside, which is really sad to see after WrestleMania, because he did such a great job with his series of matches with John Cena. Now, all the focus is on Lana and Summer Rae, and Rusev is down to wrestling Mark fucking Henry, of all people. It's like, wow, what's next, Zack Ryder?
Okay. I can understand you picking that, and from one point of view, that works fine. But me watching that, I wouldn't pick that as a fail, just because in my viewpoint, you can expect to see Ziggler back tomorrow night to set up a match against Rusev at SummerSlam next weekend. This has not been confirmed or anything else like that. I'm just counting on it happening. Even though last week Lana said that Ziggler won't be back until after SummerSlam, I still see this happening. And last week was just filler to set up Lana versus Summer Rae, which is probably something going to happen next weekend with them too.
But that's the thing. Like, it just shows how far Rusev has slid down the totem pole since going up against John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looked like the next, to steal a phrase, the next big thing. And then after his series with Cena, it was like, okay, now all the focus goes on Lana, and Rusev is just sort of there.
Well, yeah, like I say, in one context, I see it, and if I'm totally wrong about Ziggler showing up tomorrow night, then I will take back what I'm saying right now. But they were just biding their time, and again, this goes back to what I was talking about, was making the mid-card stronger again. I think people are wanting to see Rusev versus Ziggler, and not thinking that that is a step back, and if they do it right, then it's not. However, like I said, I will take back everything I'm saying right now if I turn out to be, I can't say the W word, so I'll just say not right. Okay, Nick.
Yeah.
What you'll fail for the week?
I fail the ongoing saga known as TNA, and whether or not they're just like a fish floundering. Like, are they going to go into the waters known as GSA and GSW, I mean? And or are they going to go on with Dixie Carter? Like, what is going there and what is happening? Nobody knows. And, like, we just want to end, like, I want to put a bullet in the dog known as Old Yeller, also known as TNA.
There you go, fair enough. Fail for the week, TNA not knowing what the hell they're doing, come hell or high water, they don't know their ass from a hole on the ground. Is that a good way of paraphrasing it?
Yes.
There you go. All right, Omega, I stalled long enough.
God, it's Florida. There are no holes in the ground here.
Just bogs.
You dig a hole and you get a pond. That's basically how it works. Actually, my fail is what happened before Stephen Amell hopped into the ring, which was a match between King Barrett and Neville, wherein Neville squashed him in like a minute.
Okay.
King of the Ring, remember. Mm-hmm. Now, this is important because Neville versus Barrett was the finals of the King of the Ring.
Yep.
These are the guys who had the biggest match in the whole damn tournament, and it wasn't a minute long. And if there was any credence or credibility here, like, this is the one incident where, no, Neville should not have won. Like, right. that's the one opponent that shouldn't be beating Barrett, because Barrett beat him for his oh-so-coveted King of the Ring.
Especially in a minute.
Especially in a minute. He squashed the King of the Ring that beat him to win King of the Ring.
Can I try and lift your spirits a little, Omega?
Please try.
Well, word going around from recent live shows is we may expect to start getting some bad news again soon.
I hope so. God, I hope so. Barrett was doing so well. The crowd was behind him, and then WWE said, no, we can't. People are cheering Barrett. We can't have that shit. Ugh.
It almost makes you wish that R-Truth beat him so he could be King of the Ring instead in that match a couple of months back.
Yeah, almost. It'd be more entertaining, at least. Yeah, and now the guy who lost in a minute is the guy Stardust wants in his corner, apparently. I don't know why.
Was Reverse Flash busy that week?
Supposedly because they had to drag out Miz, Show, and Ryback's feud. The plan was to put Miz in there, the movie star versus the TV star.
Well, that's just a dumb idea anyway.
It is, but at least there'd be a little bit more logic to it than, oh, hey, King Barrett's here.
There you go. What are we going to do with this guy? He's King of the Ring. I don't know. Put him in the match.
You know, but if King Barrett's taken out of the match with a boxing glove arrow, I'll be happy. That's all I want out of this entire match.
Like every little nerdy bit of your body that, for some reason, a boxing glove arrow is used in this match in some way, shape, or form.
Because it's such a pro wrestling spot.
Too bad we can't have. Sorry, go ahead.
Like, especially when the whole point of this is Stardust as a supervillain to Neville's superheroes. Like,
yeah, the other thing is, as much as I would agree and love to see the boxing glove arrow come out on this as well, if Stephen Amell misses, there goes some poor fan in the front row included.
Well, you perch him.
And remember what happened last time? Somebody threw something and it hit someone in the hit someone in the crowd. Brock.
Well, no. You get him to climb the turnbuckle, so top rope, so he can aim down. So even if he misses, it's going to hit the ring. And just have him like aim for center mass. Like, there's one benefit to Barrett being in there. He's a bigger target.
And yet I could see him doing that and it being a low blow just off a reflex shot of the mat.
All right, there you go. Oh, excuse me. My fail for the week is the end of the main event for last Monday Night Raw. Don't know exactly what happened when Sheamus came out and tried to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase, but that segment was botched completely because he wasn't letting go of the briefcase, and I could read the lips seeing the referee saying, not just yet, not yet. I don't know if you caught that or not, but that's what the referee was telling him, not yet. I guess they were waiting for Randy to remember he was supposed to climb his ass in the ring and RKO out of nowhere. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But it just, the whole thing was stupid. And I was sitting there watching. Well, Sheamus, if you can cash it in, let go of the goddamn handle, you moron. But he wasn't letting go. And it just messed up the segment completely. And of course, Sheamus looked totally, totally pissed off after everything was finished. And, apparently there was no six-man tag match, dark match, after Raw went off the air last week. There was supposed to be originally. It was advertised, but it never took place. Of course, card subject to change. That wasn't the main event. That was just a bonus match after Raw was off the air, so they didn't have to put it on. I guess a couple of people were pissed off enough that, well, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. And so they didn't. But, yeah, that's my fail for the week. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
I zoned out during that main event so much that I only caught like the tail end of that. So on my end, I didn't see the botch to it.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, about that time, I think a lot of people were tuning out because nothing was happening with a lot of, you know, and it was not happening very quickly, if you know what I mean. So, but yeah, that's win and fail for this week. I just want everybody to remember that tonight we're playing two pick'ems. One's just for fun, and the other one's for all the marbles, right, Rock? And Rock has stepped away from the computer, so he's not going to be able to back me up. When we do play pick'em this evening, if you're not in the chat room playing live, you can email your pick'em picks to media at wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet them to Wild Talk Radio, at Wild Talk Radio, of course. Or you can post them to our Facebook page, either Facebook page. We've got facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, either or both, your choice, no problem. Post your SummerSlam pick'em. You won't have to worry about putting NXT pick'em unless you really want to. That's just for funsies, that one. Just because we want to highlight NXT a little bit more because it's just proving to be such a very entertaining show. So that's coming up in a little bit, but before we do anything like that, did you guys hear about what happened this past Tuesday as Roddy Piper was laid to rest? China showed up, and according to X-Pac, Sean Waltman, she bum-rushed Triple H at the funeral.
As you can tell, Tim, we don't give a shit.
Not a single one was given. But apparently,
I'm still waiting on my delivery of fuck to arrive.
There you go. It's always been my philosophy. There are three sides to every story, his side, her side. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. According to China, all she did was ignore Triple H the entire time until they were in the lineup and she wound up right in front of him. All she said, she turned and she gave him a quick little hug and whispered in his ear that she was sorry for everything she said publicly. And Sean Waltman decided that...
I'm sure it's going to take a lot more than an I'm sorry for what she has said over the fucking years.
Well, here's
both
the thing.
Both sober, high, and in every other fucking state she's been in.
Just say intoxicated in various via various methods. That'll cover just about everything, I think.
She's fucked up.
There are some people tuned in right now listening, I know for a fact, who don't actually know the story. Among all of the stuff going on, sure, okay, Triple H cheated on Joni Laura China with Stephanie McMahon while Triple H and China were actually still dating. But not too long ago, as a matter of fact, it was earlier this year, China accused Triple H of hitting her, beating her, domestic abuse, I guess you can call it. The thing that sketchy about it, the only thing that Triple H has done is state publicly that she's a liar. I'm paraphrasing again, but basically he's come out and said none of this is true. But wouldn't that be grounds for slander? Or in this case, it would be libel because... what she said got picked up, recorded, and it's all over print media and social media on the internet. So slander turned libel, but nothing like that has taken place. Despite that, what are the chances that WWE will, and Vince McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon will finally say, all right, fine, enough's enough, and China gets put into the WWE Hall of Fame?
No.
Yeah, I've got two opportunities, slim and none.
It doesn't erase her post-WWE time. I mean, at least Sunny waited until after she got her Hall of Fame ring to start selling herself.
Yeah, and by selling yourself, you're talking about doing Skype shows for $100 for 10 minutes of nudity.
Yeah.
Full frontal.
Yeah.
And I only know that because I saw the screenshot that somebody posted to Reddit.
Don't remind me.
Oh, it wasn't pretty. She used to be hot, but that was a while back. Anyway.
Yeah, Skype was around 20 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Scary.
I don't know. Between everything she said publicly, like an apology said, in person. Number one, kind of tactless to do it at a funeral.
Yep. Well, it is Joan Laura we're talking about.
Yeah. Two, part of it is, like, if you're going to do that, if you actually want to show that you're apologetic for the past and what you've said, do it publicly. You know, show a little bit of humility and actually, like, put it out there. Yeah, I done fucked up.
Yeah, that's something that she hasn't done, is apologize publicly using the same mediums that she used to accuse him of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, until in some situations you want that private apology and, you know, enough airing your dirty laundry. But in other situations, you got to come clean and say, yeah, I screwed up. The problem is, if she does do that, those two chances that I said she's got to get into the Hall of Fame, slim and none, well, she'd be running out of slim fast. Sorry for the pun. The question here, arbitrarily and objectively, does China belong in the Hall of Fame? Never mind all of the politics, the bullshit, and the crap between her and the McMahon family.
She does. Like, she absolutely does.
She definitely, you know. Yeah, you boys in Australia, you can chime in on this topic any old time you want, by the way.
Notice that, Tim. Yeah, she definitely does. I mean, being the first and only woman to ever hold the IC belt after Jeff Jarrett dropped it to her. Obviously, being a member of the original DX, why wouldn't you put her into the Hall of Fame?
So, yeah. The only problem is with everything that she's done. She's basically dug her own grave with this one. And I just do not see it happen.
Wow, Tim, dug her own grave, funerals. Oh, my God, you just really go for this bad pun, thank you.
That, you know, I didn't even say that with anything to do with what with Ling Roddy to rest last Tuesday. That was just like, you guys, I think you're reaching out just to try to pick on me. And that's
pretty much
official, yeah, that's my official stance on that. But anyway, there you go. China, go away for a while. Just shut up and disappear. That's all I can say. Some sort of good news concerning Owen Hart coming out this week. WWE, as we all know, they've got a DVD coming up pretty soon. You know, like the best of Owen Hart or whatever. But now it will feature a 2-hour documentary, and it's going to be in time for Christmas. Apparently, it being released on December the 7th in the United Kingdom, December the 8th in North America. And I know what my son Owen is getting for Christmas.
Gee, I'm surprised you aren't trying to force Owen to buy that for you.
Well, let's just say we're going to be watching it together a lot. That'll be my son's Christmas present, because after all, he was born, let's see, look at that, 9.5, it was just about 9 months after what happened back in 1999. My son, Owen, was born, and of course, he was named in part after Owen Hart, and as a result, he's always been interested in somebody he's never seen, you know, in the flesh, as it were, and so this will be a nice little treat. We can sit down. He'll actually learn a lot more about Owen Hart than I've been able to tell him. So... yeah, and I'm going to make sure that I get the DVD early enough that, well, you know, I'll have a copy too. You know what I'm saying?
You're trying to do naughty things, are you there, Tim?
Oh,
things
not
we do not condone on that book.
Well, hey, I'm in Canada, so it's not illegal, technically, according to Canadian law. So that's one of the benefits of living in this country. But, yeah, a lot of the times when a wrestler who's no longer with us winds up getting a DVD released, that's that person winds up in the WWE Hall of Fame not too long afterwards. On more than one occasion, this has happened. Might this possibly, because they're doing such a big disc, because it's a two-hour documentary plus, you know, a lot of his matches and stuff like that, there's obviously going to be a minimum two-disc set. Do you think that something behind the scenes may have been in the works or currently is in the works with Martha Hart, where they might actually induct Owen?
No, I don't think we're going to probably see the Owen induction. I think this is more of a, we're going to test the lawyers and see what they're going to do when we release this.
Okay.
This is Vince finally manning up and growing some balls like he says he has and going, we're going to give the fans what they want. Fuck what this bitch says.
Yeah. Well,
And if she fucking throws the lawyers at them and says, oh, you can't do this because of whatever, you know, I hold the, basically she's the executor of the estate and all this shit. Mm-hmm. If she takes them to court over that, then we won't see an induction. If she doesn't do anything and just lets it slide, then Vince might go, okay, let's put him in the Hall of Fame and see what happens.
Well,
I reckon Vince got to the point where he's sick of playing these fucking games with her, and he just wants it over and done with, and he wants to do what's right by the fans.
Well, quite possibly. The thing about it is this news has been out long enough this past week that Martha had more than plenty of time to respond, and she has responded in the past with very little time between anything announced by WWE and her opening up her mouth to any kind of media.
Yeah, but the difference between this and that is once this comes out, she has physical evidence of what they're doing. The rest has been hearsay, which is very admissible by courts.
So you figure that in this instance, she's just keeping them all shut until stuff comes out and she's saying, see, look, told you.
Pretty much.
That's a possibility.
She's sitting back waiting for the release, and then once the release comes out, then she's going to start kicking up a shit.
Yeah. I can understand where you're coming from with that one, except in this instance we are talking about Martha Hart, and she's never been one to keep her mouth shut when it concerns Owen. And I just, you know, doing something like that would be completely out of character for her, and it's, I can see some people doing it, but with her, I don't know. Like I say, it's just a little too out of character for that. Again, you know, maybe it happens. Who knows? But, yeah, that being said, we'll find out before Christmas, I'm sure. Anyway, that being said, I do believe we should probably take our first time out of the evening, if the producer's listening and paying attention, if that is. Apparently he is. Everybody listening to WTR, Sunday Night with Talk Radio. We'll be right back momentarily. Don't go anywhere. It's going down for it.
Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this pasta, lumber, make them pizza, M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches, south beaches, surfboard and high tide. I can just roll up, cause I roll up. So that birthday cake is a cobra. Bugatti for real, I'm Cobra. The autobiography rover. Got the key to my city, it's over. No stop, only in the color covers. I said rackets, wretched, hold up.
I said rackets, wretched, hold up.
I know you can't meditate.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
Not apparently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Oh, apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. That's no gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the World Gangnam Style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here. That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Gundam style. Gundam style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Did Mr. Cthulhu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got strength in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I heard the song twice now. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey, Margarita.
Oh, I hate that song, Rock. I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass. Macarena.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because stratisfaction is guaranteed.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Since everyone said, you gotta move, and nobody moved. Not even listening to the song at this point. Is anyone here?
We're here.
Okay. I thought
we're currently going through stuff for Nick to take back to Japan with him, and he's already going no on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Next Mutation.
He's a wise man.
Female Ninja Turtles. What? No.
Just make him watch a Bone Steel episode, and that's pretty much all he needs to see.
He doesn't want to watch a Bone Steel episode, but I might force him through it and then show him a Scott McNeil interview. Which is pretty much the same thing, really.
Yeah, but my interviews don't feature a really cheap gorilla suit.
They should.
That's true. I'm just, yeah, that's, it could, if you let it.
I have decided to go see a movie where I'm actually going to be able to yell at the people on the screen and get away with it.
Was it released 2 months ago?
it's straight out of Compton.
Oh.
I'm going to go see it. Just so I can yell at the screen. I
don't think you can yell at the screen, even there.
Well, you know, this is me being, you know, stereotyping black people right now. Anyway, welcome back, everybody.
So, we are back.
Yes, we are.
Let's establish this.
Yeah, I think maybe we should just, like, try to figure this out. This was sent to me earlier this afternoon, and, like, hey, let's try this. So, if we were to reboot WWE, in other words, taking iconic characters from the 80s and the 90s.
Okay.
And giving... What?
No, when you say reboot the WWE, the first thing that pops into my head, and Mace will understand this, is Triple H and Stephanie's marriage doesn't happen because of a deal with The Undertaker.
And it happens for just one more day.
All right, fair enough.
WWE's brand new day edition.
Anyway, give these characters to current WWE superstars. Now, the whole idea here, I guess, is take Hulk Hogan's character with his entrance and his music and his mannerisms and all this other stuff.
And give it,
yeah, well, no, like, keep that under wraps. Give that to a current WWE superstar. Who would you give that to?
Well, the obvious choice there would be John Cena.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, if John Cena did the same... So, exactly the same as Hulk, went to WCW, did the NWO thing. Having Booker T go to John Cena, we're coming for you, nigga, doesn't have the same ring as Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
That just gives it, well, after everything with Hulk Hogan, that gives that promo a whole new meaning.
The thing is, like, if it was John Cena in the 80s doing that gimmick, I don't think he would have ever left, because he's such a company man. Like,
sort of like Hulk Hogan for a majority of his career, even though he did go to WCW and TNA, he still returns to WWE. Plus, I don't think we could have had Hollywood John Cena. This doesn't work.
No,
I've seen him in Hollywood. It doesn't work.
No, but Hogan was all about the Benjamins, brother. Okay, well, let's try to come up with some other gimmicks. Sure, Undertaker's still going strong, but he debuted way back in the early times.
Mark Calloway.
Yeah, who would you give Undertaker's gimmick to?
Imagine if WWE gave Giant Gonzalez the Undertaker gimmick.
Oh God, what is wrong with you?
Fuck. No, they'd hire the Big Show early and give him the gimmick.
Or what about Kevin Nash as the Undertaker?
No, he was still Oz at the time. Let him have one failure at a time, please.
What if you took Bray Wyatt and made Bray Wyatt the Undertaker?
They're trying to do Good that. It's not working.
Well, no, they're not trying to do that. They're trying to make him supplant Undertaker, but...
I could see Papa Shango as the Undertaker and, like, take a whole new different way of doing the Ministry of Darkness storyline as well.
If you're going reboot, it's got to be someone like in WWE, someone relevant,
like a current superstar like Dean Ambrose. Take Dean Ambrose.
No, absolutely not. He's Macho Man.
Well, I was about to say what character would you give Dean Ambrose?
No, he is Macho Man. He needs to be back. He needs to be backstage doing promos about Dairy Creamer.
See, I wasn't saying give Dean Ambrose the Undertaker. I moved on to a different one, like. Taking a current WWE star, you're saying Dean Ambrose would have the Macho Man gimmick.
Yeah.
So would that make Roman Reigns the Ultimate Warrior?
He has shaken the ropes on occasion, hasn't he?
He doesn't have enough personality for that.
Okay, who would you make into the Nature Boy?
God. It was for a while they wanted to do that to Ziggler. I don't know if it's appropriate fit now, though.
What about Seth Rollins?
Damian Sandow.
Oh, that ties in too much to the gimmick that made him good, relevant again.
But think about it. It'd be almost like doing a version of the Intellectual Savior, just with more money.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing is, you could take Sandow and you could put him in, like, the Million Dollar Man gimmick as well. And then you give him Zack Ryder as Virgil.
Got it. I don't know. I don't think I can see him as savior, Intellectual Savior of the masses, because Rick bragged about how many girls he banged the night before.
Yeah, Ziggler would probably fit.
Probably. He's already got the hair color for it.
Who would you give the big boss man gimmick to?
The first thought is to match physiques, and I thought of Kevin Owens, and he'd look like a tough Paul Blart.
That wasn't that funny, but still it was.
Well, you know, we've still got the obvious one as of the Ascension as Demolition, right? We can all agree on that one.
There, I did that.
You know what I could find really amusing? Clean these guys up a bit and put Rowan and Harper as the Legion of Doom.
I'm matching sheep masks with spikes sticking out now.
Legion of Doom.
That would be awesome. The Legion of Bah.
Legion of Bah.
You're lucky you're across the planet from me right now.
Paul Heyman in Jim Cornette's gimmick.
Running, well, he's got the walking around screaming thing. He just needs a tennis racket.
Exactly.
And a penchant for yelling at people in Dairy Queen.
I could see Heyman yelling at people in Dairy Queen quite easily. And just out everywhere.
Yeah, no doubt. So, who else?
Well, let's get, like, to fail. Let's do some failed characters. Gobbledygooker.
Brock Lesnar.
That's okay. So fail.
Okay.
Actually, Brock Lesnar is Big Van Vader.
Yeah.
That's not a failed gimmick.
I was thinking Owens for Vader.
You're only saying that because he's fat.
And?
Yeah, he fits the costume. Good enough.
There's only so many physiques that fit that Mastodon helmet.
How about, another failed character, the Goon.
I want to make a Tyson
kid. If we're doing
kid.
The failed gimmick, does that mean we still keep Kane as Isaac Yankum DDS?
No, but put Dean Ambrose as the Goon.
Really?
Why not?
I was trying to come up with a Canadian we could cast, so at least he has that going for him.
Well, the Goon wasn't Canadian.
Yeah,
I know, but at least it's a step up.
How about Mark Henry as Tugboat?
or Earthquake, Typhoon, Shockmaster, whatever. Just any of those gimmicks.
Mark Henry in that sparkly Stormtrooper helmet.
Better yet, Mark Henry as Manator.
Mantar?
That's
no, I need Ryback as Mantar.
Ryback would work as Mantar.
Okay, here's one for you, the Mountie.
Again,
Finn Balor.
Or Hideo. Go Hideo.
Oh, a Japanese Mountie?
A Japanese Mountie, yes.
No, Hideo would be Mr. Fuji.
So for then, if you're going...
Actually, we go Cesaro as the Mountie.
Cesaro as the Mountie. If we go back to Mantar, you put Bull Dempsey.
Oh, I get what you did.
Gotta go there.
God, no.
He's getting bullfit, you know.
Oh,
heard.
The New Day as the Rockers.
New Day Rockers.
The New Day can actually win a tag team title.
Ooh.
Not to mention, when someone gets thrown through a window, there's still one guy left.
That extra guy comes in handy.
Well, all right, we'll play it this way. You'd have Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston as the Rockers. When they break up, you probably push, we'll go Xavier Woods in the Shawn Michaels spot. He brings in the New Diesel, Big E Langston.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I thought way too hard about that for the whole 30 seconds I thought about it.
That makes me wonder who's Razor Ramon.
Rick Titan. Oh, wait, no.
Oh,
he was Razor Ramon.
Shout out to the six people who get the Rick Titan reference.
Right? And they're all listeners of this show. From 2006.
So does that mean we also go to the very obvious Stardust becomes Gold Dust?
Well, what else are you going to do?
Doink.
Cody Rhodes is Doink the Clown.
No, I give that to Jericho. Jericho's got to be Doink.
He was.
Bro. I know, that's why it works.
One night only, Chris Jericho, Dwight the Clown.
Hmm. Well, I'm tired of this game. How about you guys?
Hornswoggle is dink.
And now we've hit the midget. I say we go to break.
Now the midget has been hit.
We've covered the midget club.
I think that's a call for a commercial break anytime.
Anyway, let's go to break.
Yeah, I think we've run this one into the ground when we hit the midgets.
Yeah, we jumped the shark with it, I guess you could say. Hey, everybody, listen to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere after this quick little timeout. We're going to do NXT Pick'em. Get ready.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, suplex city, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
I came to play. There's a price to pay.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Are you guys ready to play some NXT Pick'em?
Can I win stuff with NXT Pick'em?
You could have a very good time and feel like a winner by watching NXT TakeOver.
So the answer is no.
You didn't do that anyway. I want to win stuff.
That's SummerSlam. We can win stuff for SummerSlam, not NXT.
Yeah, SummerSlam, Preview, and Pick'em will come up right after NXT.
NXT Pick'em is going to count as sort of like maybe a tiebreaker for those three people that are still fucking tied?
No, that would have made sense, but since we didn't come up with that one, since Tim was supposed to come up with a second tiebreaker,
thought about it because I wasn't talking to Mace, because he was busy eating sandwiches with Nick Diddy.
No, but we can't do NXT Takeover Pick'em, then that would be a lot of work on King Kent, and he's overworked as it is, so we can't do that.
Well, tell the guy to take a week off, for crying out loud, the moron.
School's starting, and then he'll be, you know, available to help out more next week. School starts for him. So.
Well, that's just not good enough.
I know. He has to miss SummerSlam because he has to help out. It's a shame.
Has to help what out?
He works at a school, so he has to, you know, they're moving, doing some pep rally or something the day of SummerSlam.
So he's working at a school, and he hasn't had a day off since last year.
5 hours of SummerSlam.
Remember, he's hours behind, so no, he'll miss it, most of it. That sucks for him. Our intern gets overworked because he does it on himself.
Well, it's a good thing that he's not getting paid for it then, eh?
Exactly. But let's get into NXT Pick'em, Tim.
There you go. Well, you know, I can never say this guy's name right, so we're just going to pretend that I do and call him Jushin Thunder Liger taking on Tyler Breeze, Mace.
You got it right, though, Tim.
I know. I was kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, you actually got it right. Considering this is quite possibly going to be a one-off, I'm going with Liger here. Gotta give the win to Liger, because he's the guest talent, and let's treat him properly, or else New Japan won't let us use it again.
That sounds fair enough. Nick Diddy, you live in Japan.
Yeah, obviously the hometown boy of Jushin Thunder Liger. The dream is just to watch him put Tyler Breeze up in the surfboard, and then just, if they bring the streamers back just for the show and bring back the old school streamers like they did for Beast in the East and watch them all throw it in for both Devitt and Liger, that would be amazing.
All right, Omega.
Now, you say that this might be a one-time thing and thus Liger has to win, but I remember Sting.
Yeah, but Sting took on Triple H, not Tyler Breeze.
Just given the fact that it is Breeze and they are selling one-night-only shirts in commemoration for this match, I will give it to Liger.
There you go. Yeah, well, I'll make it completely unanimous and say Jushin Thunder Liger. And like I said, I can't say his name properly, just like I can't pronounce Cinnamon. So we're all good with that one. But up next, we've got the NXT Tag Team Championship. The champions, Blake and Murphy, defending against the Vaudevillians, Omega.
I really want to say the Vaudevillians, but I don't know. There's something about that gimmick that I think loses a little bit if they have credibility with a championship.
Okay.
Like there's a charm to them as they are. I'm not sure tag belts are needed or would help them in any way. I'm gonna say Blake and Murphy retain.
There you go. Yeah, it's a case of do the Vaudevillians really need the titles? They're more entertaining without them. My opinion. Anyway, so I'm saying Blake and Murphy retain. Mace!
I'm going for my boys, the Wub Wubs.
What?
Well, what's that music?
That would be Blake and Murphy.
Oh, yeah, they having references going in his head and wanting to kill me.
Yeah, just to clarify for everybody who doesn't realize that Mace is tone deaf, he's picking Blake and Murphy.
By way of dubstep.
There you go. Okay, no more beatboxing.
It's such a contrast between their, like, epileptic seizure entrance and then cut to black and white Vaudevillians.
Except they dropped all that. With the Vaudevillians, they dropped the whole, you know, black and white screen and the old school piano music.
No, they still do black and white.
They switched
back. Yeah, they do black and white.
I was going to say, last time I saw NXT.
Yeah, that's what I get for not watching every week.
There you go. All right, Mr. Nick Diddy, chime in.
Yeah, Blake and Murphy will keep the championship.
We got another clean sleep, clean sleep on that one. Okay, we got Samoa Joe facing down Baron Corbin, Mace.
Does either one of these men have Wub Wub?
No, but we might wish Samoa Joe had Wub Wub.
No, they gave Joe better music.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't want Samoa to have Godzilla-like music again, but that's just me. That being said, this is actually going to be a tough one to call, but Joe's going to kill Corbin.
All right, Omega.
Huh, has Baron Corbin yet to lose on NXT?
Yes.
Okay.
He lost to either Finn or Hideo when they were doing a number one contenders tournament a few months back.
Okay, that makes it easy, Joe.
Yeah, wasn't it Hideo that he lost to?
I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head.
So why don't we all just pick Joe?
I'd be happy with that.
I'll pick Joe. Omega pick Joe. Mace reluctantly pick Joe, even though he has no wub wub.
And hopefully this is the new one since it was just recently posted. Hopefully this works.
Welcome back here to NXT.
There you go.
That's the new version of Samoa Joe's theme.
Oh, that is so much better than the one he debuted with.
Right?
And, of course, Nick made his pick, did he not?
Yeah, Joe's going to kill him.
There you
Possibly, go. Literally.
Like, yeah, Joe's going to kill you. All right, NXT Women's Championship! Sasha Banks defends against Bayley, Nick.
I reckon, especially that Sasha Banks is in the main roster, she's going to drop it to Bayley.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Mace.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Bayley's going to hug a championship.
Okay. Omega.
Yeah, it's about time for her to win anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say Bayley, but of course, if Bayley loses, then we know Sasha Banks heading back to NXT, right?
That's really...
No, trying to give her credibility while she's in the middle of this fucking 19 diva feud.
There you go. Well, that's the whole worry that we all have is that they're going to forget about Sasha Banks, isn't it?
No. They're not going to.
You can't forget about the boss. I'm sorry. You cannot forget about the boss.
Yeah,
so,
no matter what, she's still going to be one of the best performers in the women's division on Raw and SmackDown, so no.
Yeah, so Sasha Banks is dropping the title. Bayley wins another clean sweep. And now for the championship ladder match, we've got Finn Balor defending against Kevin Owens. And this is the first rematch between these two since Finn won the title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Balor versus Owens. I'm just looking at this as a no-brainer, and Finn Balor retains Mace.
I'm going to defy everybody's logic and say Owens gets it.
Wow.
Ooh.
Okay. Nick.
As much as I want to go for Prince David here, or Finn Balor, I really can't say Finn Balor. It's always going to be David. But I really think Owen is going to pull something out. And he's going to take the belt back.
Omega.
No, I defy that, and I say Balor wins it.
So basically, we've got a 50-50 split right down the middle on this one. Here we go. Two for Balor and two for Owens.
And actually, it's 3-3 because last night Sub and Rob split too.
Okay, so like technically we'll count them even though they're on a different show and they don't count anyway.
So far, all the picks, everyone who's on the network side who's doing the picks have been split.
There you go. Yeah, and just a reminder. Hey, where is NXT next Saturday?
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, no sleep till NXT.
They're sold out in Brooklyn
already. Yeah, and of course it's tonight before SummerSlam.
What's the number on that sellout for the rookies?
13,000 plus.
Ah,
pretty good. And apparently the NXT panel is doing really, really well too. It's a hot seller.
There you go. So you can catch NXT Takeover Saturday night, the night before SummerSlam,
9 p.m. Eastern, 7 Mountain,
on the WWE Network.
Exactly.
Yeah, or various websites around the interwebs that we don't talk about. There we go. And so that's funsies, as it were, for NXT Takeover. Now we come to the big dog. Sunday night next week, everybody. It's a huge, 5-hour event?
4-hour.
Well, include the pre-show.
17-hour spectacular.
Yeah, probably. God, I remember we used to do that a lot on the interwebs for pay-per-view Sundays. shit would start at like 10 o'clock in the morning Mountain Standard Time and continue until midnight Mountain Standard Time on the internet, just covering, you know, leading up to the pay-per-view, covering the pay-per-view, and then the pay-per-view post-shows.
Oh, you mean what audio wrestling did back in the day?
Audio wrestling, Eminem was involved. Of course, the two flagship shows, WrestleTalk Radio and Wrestling News Live, where the one was the live coverage and the other one was the follow-up show.
Yeah.
And there was a whole bunch of shit going on. That was very short-lived, which is a good thing, because it was exhausting.
Would that be the times where you used to broadcast from the bottom-up sports club?
Was that part of it, or was that before that?
I think that was... yes and no.
I think
part it was, part it wasn't. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think we bled over, and then they stopped doing it because it was too much work for everybody involved. So.
Probably.
Anyway.
Anyway. We got to tell
people...
We got to tell people they can win something.
Time to get into the SummerSlam preview and SummerSlam Pick'em, and this one is for marbles. Now, I'm not meaning marbles literally. I'm talking about the prizes. Of course, we got how many people? Three people still in the running for a prize that we were trying to give away three pay-per-views ago?
Yeah.
This is it. Somebody's going to win this goddamn thing next Sunday night, and that's all there is to it.
They're winning the WWE Fan On Board car sticker thingy.
The car deckle, the window... sticker.
As you see it on your screen right now.
Oh, did you put it up on the screen right now?
I did put it up on the screen right now.
So if people were in the chat room and they scrolled up, they could see it. I can't because I'm not, I'm in the chat room, but I can't turn on the feed. But yeah, you're going to win that. Here's the thing, right? We've got two prizes to give away, and we were going to do something different and do a swerve, but we decided, fuck it, let's just do this instead. The swerve was whoever wound up winning the final winner of all of this was going to actually be given a copy of Daniel Bryan's autobiography, Yes, My Incredible Journey to WrestleMania or whatever it is. What is it?
My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania.
That's it.
Written by
Daniel Bryan and somebody else.
Craig Tello, who works for WWE.
Yeah, and it's an actual physical copy of the book. But here's the thing. Rock, what if somebody wins and they're in, New Japan or Zealand?
Then you'll be able to win a copy of the book. It won't be physical, but you'll win a copy of the book.
Really? How?
Why don't you tell them, Tim?
Well, we've got our hands on a PDF version of the book. And so if you live outside of North America, you're still going to get a chance to win the actual book because we'll just email you the PDF.
Correct.
Doesn't that sound like...
Yay!
Unless that person
who happens to be if in Japan hailing from New Zealand happens to have somebody who already has the PDF copy that might give them to it on a hard drive.
I don't know what you're talking about, so hush.
But yeah, we have a physical copy of the Daniel Bryan book, and people in North America have a chance of winning said book. And how you do so is by winning SummerSlam Pick'em.
But here's the thing. What if the person who winds up winning the WWE Fan On Board gets the most SummerSlam pick-ems right?
Then they will also win a copy of Daniel Bryan's book along with the car thingy.
There you go. So technically, somebody could win two prizes. And worst case scenario or best case scenario, depending on how you look at it, we might actually wind up giving a grand total of three things away next Sunday night. Possibly, potentially. That is, like, we're talking really left field, outside shot.
Yes.
Painting the plate, but it's still possible.
Correct. So, yes. I have the book sitting right here on my desk.
Why don't you take a picture and put it up on the player?
It's been on the screen for about a minute and a half now, Tim.
Okay, there you go.
However, if all three people lose, we're going to kill the contest and somebody's going to send me the copy of the book, yeah?
No.
That's not how this works.
We'll send you a picture of the sticker. How's that?
That's okay. I can get some tape and turn it into a sticker.
There you go. Just paint it with a little contact cement and Bob's your uncle. So let's dive into SummerSlam preview.
I don't have an uncle named Bob.
What? It's terrible when you guys both talk at the same time when I'm talking. Don't do that. Cut it out.
Well, I believe Omega said he's got an uncle named Bob, and I've got a second cousin named Bob.
Anyway,
And Bob is an English saying. Bob is your uncle.
Anyway, before we get into actual pick on Tim, Sheila Josh and Chris Pierce are the ones eligible to win the car sticker thingy.
Okay, so
I've never seen a fiercer battle over a sticker in my life.
I mean, we tried to give this away 2 months ago. Like, someone's got to win.
So it's Chris Pierce, Josh who?
Josh, in the chat.
What's
room.
His last name?
I don't have a last name.
Don't you know Josh's last name? We've only known Starscream Josh for how long now?
Forever, and I know it because it's on my Facebook, but I'm not looking at my Facebook at the moment.
And somebody named Sheila, what's Sheila's last name?
Begins with a P, and she lives in Canada.
It begins with a what?
P, I think.
Sheila P? Sheila P.
Yes. On Facebook somewhere. Anyway, continue on. Kinkins doesn't put last names. What do you want from me? Go by his email.
I don't know, but Josh's last name's Johnson, just so you know. To play Pick'em and have your Pick'em count, everybody, if you're not playing live in the chat room right now, then email your Pick'em picks to media@wildtalkradio.com.
Tim. Even if you're in our chat room right now, please email them to media@wildtalkradio.com or put them in Facebook group at facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio.
I was going to say that. Okay,
because Pinkins is not in our chat room at the moment.
Oh,
so.
I thought he was as MN0733. Sure enough, that's not Kinkins. I thought it was.
MN0733 is Tommy.
Oh, hi, Tommy. How you doing?
He's only been in your chat room for years, Tim. You know who he is.
But you can also tweet your Pick'em picks to at Wild Talk Radio as well.
Yeah.
As posting them on the Facebook group, Wild Talk, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. That's how this whole thing goes.
In case you haven't figured it out, we want to give shit away, guys. Come on, play. And tell everybody to catch the archive show so they can play along too. And of course, if you tune into the rack on Thursday night, that's another chance to get your shit in.
Yeah,
if
you're
listening tonight.
You can tweet them at Rack Radio Show or facebook.com/Rack Radio Show.
And of course, if you're not listening tonight, then you don't know that I just told you that. That's a different story. Let's get into it. All right, SummerSlam. We've got a three-team elimination match that we're going to start this off with, and we're talking about, this is the Divas, guys, Team Bella versus Team PCB versus Team Bag, and we'll start with Nick.
I really have been impressed with both Charlotte and Becky joining the main roster, unlike their other NXT counterparts who have been in the roster for a little while, or they've just debuted as well. They've really come out and actually really put on a show, and they've actually been very impressive. So I think Team PCB, which is one letter away from an illicit drug, shall win it.
And it's a type of tubing that that you use for plumbing, too. PCB.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah, it's one letter off from that. Mace!
I'm just going to go with I don't care. Pick one that are both as valid as each other.
Throw a dart.
Okay. Team Bella? Sure, why not? Let's go Team Bella.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to pick Team Bad, Omega.
I want to pick PCB and all your jokes about their name being one letter off something really bad.
Or both of the other two names being porn sites.
Well, PCB is also polychlorinated biphenyl, which is highly toxic and a cancer-causing agent that's found in groundwater all the time.
Nerd!
I'm just saying, for all your little letter changing, oh, look, it's plumbing pipe, but with one extra one letter off. No, it's still bad.
It's not as bad as Team Bad.
Not as bad as bad.
So not as bad as naming your PG Divas division after a porn site.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, I'm gonna give it to the fake porn stars.
All right, PCB, it is. There you go. Next up, we've got Kevin Owens taking on Cesaro. Omega.
God, this is a hard one. This is probably the match I'm looking forward to the most, but oh my god, they both need a win so bad.
And if Kevin Owens loses the night before,
yeah, that's gonna look really bad.
Unless he wins.
Unless he wins.
But then it would make him look bad if he loses after he wins. So either way.
What are you doing?
Confusing.
This is Pick'em. I'm not supposed to think about this. We're supposed to go with WWE logic and come up with the first thing off the top of my head.
Yeah, good luck with that. How's it working out for you?
And what is the first thing off the top of your head?
Owens.
Okay. Mace.
This one is from what I saw the other week of seeing these two go at it live is going to be a fucking show stealer. Oregon Owens is going to take away the win.
All right. Nick.
Yeah. Two from two. Owens will get
it. Yeah, this is a tough one. I want Cesaro to start winning, and having a win over Kevin Owens would be absolutely awesome. But I got to go with Owens just because of what WWE is doing right now. So there you go. Up next, we're going to love this. By the way, I just like to say that what I said last week, I was right. Stephen Amell will team up with Neville to take on Stardust and King Barrett. I predicted it. It came true. I was right. Nick.
Did you say King Barrett would be one of the opponents?
I said Stephen Amell will team up. It'll be a tag team. Don't try to blow holes in my win. Fuck you, bitch.
Did you know it was originally supposed to be The Miz as the partner?
We've gone through that already. Shut up. I'm not talking to you. Nick, save me. Fight you, Nick.
As much as I think, and I want Stardust and Barrett to just be, like, awesome and actually win this match, knowing WWE booking and their history with celebrities in matches, I'm looking at the 3v1 WrestleMania 25, Chris Jericho vs. Piper, Snuka, and Steamboat with yep. Mickey Rook in their corner as an example. Stephen Amell and Neville will get that.
There you go. All right, Mace.
Yeah, we're giving this to the superheroes because, you know, justice and good always triumphs and comic book endings and whatnot.
I love how Mace always cuts him off as Nick is trying to make a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that. Yeah, he's just like, okay, shut it off quick. Cause
he has a habit of hitting the mute button. It's just kind of overriding everything. Like the fact that he's got someone else beside him.
Yeah. Who you picking there?
Yes, this is fucking harder to do in studio than it is via Skype, assholes.
Now, you know what I went through for 6 years? Omega.
It's got to be the superheroes.
Okay.
It's no option. Like,
will they call their tag team the superheroes?
I doubt it.
Okay.
There's part of me that wants like Neville to be inducted into the Justice League afterwards, but that's not probably not happening.
There you go. Well, he's not joining the Avengers.
Wrong
no,
franchise.
It'd be awkward. If he's in the back. If he's in the back and he's like, here's a card that makes you an official member of the Justice League, and said, I'm an Avengers fan.
Oh, great. Will I meet the Iron Man?
Now, the question is, does Stephen Amell come out as the Green Arrow or just in, like, some throw-together wrestling gear?
You see, I was hoping like hell that you guys would not bring that up so I could ask that to be the tiebreaker.
All right.
Stephen Amell come out dressed as the Arrow or does he come out dressed as Stephen Amell?
All right, so let's make that as one of the tiebreakers then.
Okay, that's your tiebreaker, guys.
One of them.
Right there.
One
does
of.
Stephen Amell come out, one of them. Yes, thanks, Rock. Does Stephen Amell come out dressed as the Arrow, or does he come out dressed as Stephen Amell? I'm going to say he comes out as the Arrow. And, oh, by the way, my pick is for the superheroes, too, as well. But I'm going to say he comes out as the Arrow, Omega.
I know I said it last week. My dream scenario is for him to come out as Amell, leave the match, and come back as the Arrow. Like a superhero switch.
That'd be kind of interesting, mate.
Didn't Helms do that once as the Hurricane?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it more than once.
I reckon he comes out as a Mel. I don't think they're going to get a chance to use, or at least talk to DC to get a hold of the rights.
Yeah, that's the issue I come across. Is I think he'll be wearing some kind of makeshift gear that resembles the Arrow.
Oh,
like,
it'll definitely be
green, but I don't think they're going to let him come out in full costume.
Yeah, it's called cross promotion. You never know. Behind the scenes, they could have worked something out with the network.
They've been planning.
You've also got to remember, Tim, this is A, DC Comics, and B, Warner Brothers Productions.
Yep.
They are assholes.
Yep.
This is like trying to go to Disney for anything.
But they're not above promotion. Anyway, Rock, you've been trying to say something, but we keep cutting you off. Go ahead.
WWE and Warner Brothers have you know, connections these days, you know, with the whole Scooby-Doo franchise and everything. So it wouldn't put it past me if they worked with Warner Brothers and DC to get it done.
See? That's what I was saying. All right. Nick, does he come out dressed as the Arrow, or does he come out dressed as Stephen Amell?
I reckon he'll come out as the Arrow. I think he'll get all psyched up and be like, yeah, I'm going to come out as the Arrow at SummerSlam, like, big WWE paper, so he's got to pull out all the stocks and be like, yeah, come out as Arrow.
Fair enough. And Omega, your dream for this match with the switch halfway through counts as him coming out as the Arrow, by the way.
Okay, so that's supersedes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one more question for Omega.
Uh-huh.
Will Foreskin Man be the special referee?
No, he didn't.
If Amell comes out as Arrow, I want to see Neville come out as Speedy.
No, Foreskin Man didn't make the cut.
Oh, darn it.
Don't anybody ask.
Google it. It's a real thing.
Just don't anybody ask.
All seven issues of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't anybody ask. Just Google it.
Very, very special.
Oh, my God. All right, so now we're up to the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Championship match. We've got the primetime players defending against Los Matadores, Lucha Dragons, and New Day, Omega.
This is weird, because the tag team division is so scattered right now, it literally could be anybody.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to win. I'm going to say New Day.
All right. Nick.
New Day's going to dance all the way to the championship.
All right. Mace.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
There you go. All right. How long has Primetime Players held the titles for?
June.
Since June. How many defenses have they gone through?
Who?
My pick is Primetime Players retains.
Okay.
That's just me basing everything on how WWE usually books shit.
This is where our second tiebreaker comes in handed out, Tim.
Okay. What was the second time?
The second time. Good thing you remember these things.
I didn't make note of it. You just said it, and I said, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and you were supposed to answer a question on it. Anyway, it was... which team takes the fall? And I asked you the question, are we going to go with team?
With team or person? Team gets pinned?
What team gets pinned? Okay.
Okay, so tiebreaker number two, kids. And this will be to make sure we have two winners.
Or just a winner. Cause, you know.
Or at least, you know, one full winner.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially two and a half winners.
If everyone picked the same damn thing... No one gets nothing.
Yeah, there we go. But somebody's going to win the shit, damn it. That's enough. Omega, what's for the tiebreaker? Who gets pinned?
Diego.
Which team gets pinned?
Which would be the Matadors.
Yes.
Matadors.
Okay. I'm looking right at the Matadors and thinking, yeah. But I'm going to pick Lucha Dragons getting pinned. Mace?
Lucha! Lucha! Lucha!
Okay, so he's picking New Day. Nick!
I reckon the Primetime Players.
Ooh, look at that. All right. There we go. Okay, now we got family versus family. It's the Wyatts taking on Ambrose and Reigns. Well, let's see. It's a pay-per-view, so Bray's going to lose. Ambrose and Reigns is my pick, Omega.
I hate that to be the logic, but that's kind of the logic I'm working with right now.
That's kind of the reason why I said this shit.
But that logic doesn't really hold up. It's only a WrestleMania logic.
Well, shut up anyway.
He beat Roman last month. He beat Ryback a couple months prior. Just saying. He
needs outside interference to win.
Speaking about outside interference, shut up, Rock, and let him pick. Go ahead, Omega.
He doesn't have Eric. They don't have Eric back yet to run interference.
Nope.
No, I'll say Dean and Reigns.
Okay. Nick?
I think... With their reformed new powers, the White Family.
The White Family. Mace.
Someone put the beers on ice. Ambrose and Reigns are going to take this one.
Loser buys the beer?
No, the one who doesn't do the pinfall buys the beer.
Yeah, there you go. All right, now the Intercontinental Championship match, which is where we are collectively calling the potty break, believe it or not, and not the Divas match. We're talking Ryback defending against Big Show and The Miz. Mace. Who takes it?
My pillows, because I'm going to fall asleep during this one.
Well, you taking that, but who wins the match while you're sleeping?
I'm probably going to go with The Miz on this one.
Wow, okay. Nick?
Yeah, this is out of the four-hour nice power nap match. Ryback will retain.
Hopefully it's no longer than 10 minutes, including all three entrances. Omega?
I'm actually saying Ryback.
Okay, yeah, you know, I'm picking Ryback as well. Big Show, I don't see Big Show holding another title for the rest of his career. And why give it to The Miz? It's not gonna do anything. Ryback. Now, this is an interesting one. Title versus title. We got the WWE World Heavyweight Championship versus the United States Championship. And, of course, Seth Rollins is holding the world title, and John Cena is holding the U.S. title. Omega?
See, I want to say no contest, but not on pay-per-view on a championship match. That'd be really hard to swing. So
We have seen it before.
I would say Cena by DQ.
Cena by DQ. So if Cena wins by DQ, what happens to the titles?
Nothing.
Another guy loses his belt that way.
Oh, that's what a DQ usually
means.
Yes,
I know. I'm just, you know, clarifying.
I can't see a scenario where one or the other would hold both, because that kind of locks up, you know, your other divisions.
Yeah, well, this is a really, really tough, one. They've already united the World Heavyweight title with the WWE Championship. Who's to say they don't merge the U.S. Championship into the WWE World title as well and get rid of that one, right? What's your pick, Mace?
His name is John Cena!
God damn it.
That must have hurt you in the ears. Okay, Cena by DQ. Cena and Nick.
After last night's results, I believe it'll be the same in America.
John Cena wins!
Everybody's picking Cena to win one way or the other. I'm just going to stick with Seth Rollins. That's my pick, Seth Rollins.
Good job, Tim.
And, of course, the one that initially nobody wanted to see, but now everybody's champing at the bit to get underway. We're talking Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker, the rematch, Mace.
Indeed. I reckon probably Brock. Let's make it 2-0 and put old man Taker out the pasture.
Okay, Nick.
As much as Undertaker will most likely take this fight DQ, I would say Brock is going to eat him alive.
All right, Omega.
This is the world of WWE where everyone eventually gets their win back and everyone must stay level pegging no matter where you are. So I'm going with Undertaker.
Yeah. Normally you see a best of three of these, and then one person wins the first, the other person wins the second, and then you've got the rubber matches, the blow-off. In this case, I don't know. And have they called it a no DQ match, or they haven't called it that or anything
yet.
Like that yet?
I would assume tomorrow they do.
But yeah, that was going to be my point. I see them calling this like a false count anywhere or a street fight or something like that with no DQs as a matter of course with this match. And originally I was thinking they were just going to keep fighting until they're out of the ring, the bell, you know, the ref counts 10 and the bell sounds and no winner. But after the two of them showed up on Raw at the same time, beat the crap out of each other and made people want to actually get into this match just from that one segment itself, which lasted a half an hour, I see them making it a no DQ, and I'm biting my lip and choosing the Undertaker on this one.
And to go back to something Omega said about how they level up, while that's true most of the time, Jack Swagger never got his win back against Rusev.
It's Jack Swagger, though.
Well, yeah. He was a big deal last year at SummerSlam. And
well, that was a year ago.
I know, because that's what's on TV at the moment on the network. It's like, oh, Swagger was something last year. Oh, okay.
No.
Not anymore.
No, these days the crowd is chanting, I the person.
I the person.
I the person is supposed to be the people, yeah. Now,
don't explain my jokes.
What? Right there wasn't explaining it.
He was explaining
it. Anyway, rumored, most likely not confirmed yet, probably will be set tomorrow night. We can throw this in right now, because it'll probably wind up taking place. We're talking about Sheamus versus Randy Orton. Omega.
Sheamus versus the ref that fucked up.
Yep.
Well, no. And I, I don't know who fucked up there.
Randy Orton fucked up, I think.
Yeah. God, see, this is a hard one for me to call, because it's Money in the Bank holder Sheamus, who's losing way too many times, versus Orton, who really isn't leading up to anything right now.
Go back to your theory you just had. Everyone gets their win back.
Everyone gets their win back. I'm thinking of that right now.
It fits in this case.
Kinda. That's the thing, though. Like, Sheamus has been, like, Sheamus has been begging for a win lately, and, you know, Money in the Bank kind of turned into the same thing as the IC title. The longer you hold it, the more losses rank up. Actually, I kind of want to give this to Orton.
Go and get your own theory.
I don't see WWE having logic enough to actually give their Money in the Bank holder credibility with that kind of win.
Fair enough, Mace.
Put this right up there with I don't give a fuck. But
you're still picking.
We'll go Orton because I have no clue and give no fucks.
There you go. All right, next.
I'm going to say Orton wins, but as a tribute to Roddy Piper at SummerSlam, they'll do the Roddy Piper special of double. It could be a double DQ brawl to the back.
There you go. You kind of sort of like took my momentum. I'm calling this one, if any of the matches on the card is a no contest, it's this one, so I'm going to pick no contest, no winner.
Way to go out on a limb.
There you go. Yep. And just looking at it, I think the match that'll probably steal the show
is what?
Is.
Drum roll, please.
Brock Lesnar, Undertaker. It's just because they have, in less than half of one episode of Raw, turned the majority of people around and gotten everybody behind this, and I think everybody's just, like I said earlier, champing at the bit to catch this match. That's technically my pick for match of the night. The other one would be Kevin Owens versus Cesaro. Omega?
I said it before. Like, that's the match I'm looking forward to the most. Like, everything I've heard about Owens and Cesaro's matches at live events has been outstanding.
So you'll be picking that as match of the night?
Uh-huh.
All right, Mace?
What are we talking about? Stop listening.
Match of the night, knucklehead.
Owen Cesaro.
Nick.
Owen Cesaro.
Kind of hard. Yeah. So I've got two conditional matches of the night. Everybody else taking Owens and Cesaro. So there you are. That's it, everybody. WWE SummerSlam. Pick 'em.
Come on, Mike Adamley.
Yeah. Summerfest.
That was Jeremy Piven.
I was about to say that was Jeremy Piven. I didn't need you to, like, interrupt me and say it before I had a chance to.
Remember, everybody, you can send your picks to media at wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, at wildtalkradio on Twitter, at recradioshow, or facebook.com/recradioshow. Submit your picks by 4 p.m. on Sunday. Eastern time to be eligible to win a copy of Daniel Bryan's brand new book, best-selling book. Yes, my improbable journey to the main event of WrestleMania.
There you go. And with that being said, it's now time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
All right, this week in the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment conversation, the Dudley Boys reunite in 2002 against Lita retiring. Let's go with Mace first.
Yeah, what a shock you go with me first out of all the people for this one. I'm going to start things off on a very, very, very bad note, and I'm actually going to vote for Lita on this one. And cue Omega's disappointment.
I'm so let down.
That was weird.
Yep. Look, to be honest, I sat there, I watched both the Dudley Boys reuniting. It was fun because it got a nice big pop. It was at the start of the brand split and everything. It was the first time you had a crossover. It was good, but once the initial pop faded, there was nothing much to it. Whereas the whole segment with Crime Time coming out and selling off Lita's stuff, especially trying to sell her panties to JBL, was, personally, I found it hilarious. So,
yeah, I'm always going to pick something to make me laugh. So, yeah, Crime Time. They won it for Lita.
Let's go to Nick.
As much as I love to hear, yo, 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 pop your 40, it's Crime Time. And
Brooklyn
is like, but Lita's voice just is poison to your ears. It's just awful. And as much as it's funny to watch JBL pay $100 for Lita's panties, and that looks so fun, I'm a long time fan of the Dudleys, the Dudley boys. And after the brand split, like, obviously it was sad to see that Bubba Ray and Spike were in Raw and D-Von was in SmackDown, and then having this during the match and having them come back, always remember the Dudley commandments. We don't kill, we don't steal, and you don't fuck with the Dudley boys. So yeah, it's the Dudley boys.
And just for Nick.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's Crime Time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. We're bringing it, bringing it, bringing the hood to you. We're bringing it, bringing it. What you're gonna do?
There's a little bit of Crime Time. Omega.
Okay, so this is going to sound weird.
Okay. Oh my God, he's picking Lita.
No, I am not. I'm not picking Lita. And that's the whole point to this. Like, okay, it was funny, but give her credit. She was an extremely unique diva performer, had a ton of good matches, you know, one of the better divas we've ever had. And the way she retired was a complete joke. Like, no respect toward that career whatsoever. And she broke her neck and came back. That's not an easy thing to do. So I will give her more credit than that. I felt her retirement was extremely disrespectful. So by default, I have to go with Dudley Boys reuniting.
So let's figure this out. You praise Lita, and you go against her.
Yeah.
And you made a living off of telling Lita joke, or a reputation off of Lita joke.
I am an enormous hypocrite. We've established this.
Okay. So just wanted to make sure I was keeping track. Tim, your pick.
Well, this is tough, you know, and I echo Omega's empathies towards Lita. But by that point in time, with everything that had happened between the Hardys, specifically Matt, and Edge with Lita in the middle, she was still feeling the fallout.
Really, Tim? With Lita? Really?
Yeah, I went there and I did it. Yep.
Okay.
Would you believe me if I said that was an accident and I didn't do it on purpose?
Yes.
Well, you're an idiot then. Anyway, Omega got it. But anyway, everybody was totally against Lita by that time. I mean, like, completely. And she was like the whore of the locker room in the public's eyes. And, yeah, a completely disrespectful send-off. And I was like, yeah, here you are, you're a bitch, you're a dyke, you're a whore, you're a whatever, we don't like you, fuck off.
What?
That's just...
I didn't hear dyke at any time on Raw.
I'm not saying literally, but that's, you know, the essence, that's what, you know, like, the type of insult that you hear in the
You are a small Dutch dam.
not even gonna, forget it, never mind. Anyway, yeah, Lita's retirement could have been a lot classier, and just because of how horribly it was treated, her actual retirement night was just, it shouldn't, you know, by default, it's the Dudley Boys.
Moving on to our next one, Steve Austin drops Triple H off a forklift versus Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series 2002. We'll start with Nick.
So, watching Paul Heyman turn on Brock, at the time, yeah, it was shocking, but, like, Paul's done that to a whole bunch of other superstars and wrestlers over the years afterwards, so it sort of loses the impact of, like, oh, wow, that happened. But every time you watch that Triple H versus Austin match, and then you see Triple H get in the car, check to see if Austin's around, closes the door, Austin comes out with the forklift, picks him up, and you don't ever see, like, them do some sort of hard cut to sort of, like, be like, Triple H is no longer in the car. Then Austin picks up the car and drops the car. You legitimately believe that Triple H was in that car and went down with the car. And so that no matter how many times you see that, that is still pretty full on and insane. So it definitely has to be the Austin versus Triple H forklift.
Omega.
That was one of the more extreme spots I've seen, even for Stone Cold, back then when they were trying to figure out what more damage can he do to other people's cars. It's a convincing segment, because they do cut back to Triple H, you know, bloody and sweaty from the match, kind of looking out the car window, and you can see the forklift in there, but you know, in the shot. But yeah, at no time does it, you know, it's framed well enough that at no time do you go, oh well, he's just backstage in a different car and forklift. I don't know, like, Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar now seems like it would be a big deal. Back then, it was still a rather new relationship, and it didn't really feel like it was something that... It just felt like a natural break a manager and a performer do from time to time. It doesn't quite have the impact on me now, watching it, knowing that back then they weren't as... You know, they weren't as inseparable as they are now. So I will give it to the forklift.
Mace.
Steve tried to kill him with the forklift.
Oh, you don't disappoint me.
I'm surprised you didn't go for it yourself, Omega, to be honest.
I was so tempted to, but I wanted to explain my answers a little bit more.
Yeah, the good thing is, at this point, everything's been said about the forklift spot that needs to be said, so I can use that reference. And, yeah, Austin dropping Triple H off a forklift.
Tim, you want to make a pick?
I feel like I'm just, like, window dressing now. Yeah, you know, back in 2002, it wasn't a huge thing for Heyman to turn on Lesnar. I mean, Omega, you pegged it. We've seen it before, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now would be a bigger shock next Sunday night when we see Heyman turn on Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam and back Undertaker.
You calling shot?
Well, you'll find out next Sunday, won't you? Anyway, four now, and it's just an all-time greatest Survivor Series moment. It's Steve Austin dropping Triple H off a forklift. I mean, these two guys had a hell of a feud, and it just kept escalating week after week after week after week after week. What's we gonna do next to fuck you up? I'm gonna drop you off a forklift in your car, fucker. You killed Steve, you bastards!
Alright, so Steve Austin drops Triple H off a forklift, moves on. Next week on the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment conversation, Shawn Michaels wins the first ever Elimination Chamber versus Sid Vicious, shockingly winning the WWF title from Shawn Michaels in 1996. The Rock teams up with John Cena in 2010, taking on the Bret Hart Steve Austin Classic in 1996. That's in the next edition of the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment conversation.
My goodness. Well, it's time for the last little bit of the show, and we're talking about some quick hits. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for you quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, so let's start with Mr. Man Kitchen, Tim Stein. What type of porn does the Cookie Monster watch?
Why are you into porn so much? I mean, this is the second week in a row.
He's on the internet.
Porn.
Why are you needing to ask?
Quit surfing porn on the internet. Don't you know that'll freeze up your computer and you'll have to, like, reboot it so you got the... Well, wait a minute. God damn. What kind of porn does Cookie Monster watch?
Uh-huh.
Food porn.
We'll find out when HBO airs Sesame Street coming up. We'll go to Maze. Maze, what type of porn does Count Von Count watch?
Count Von Count?
Mm-hmm.
The Count from Sesame Street.
Yes.
Mm.
His full name is Count Von Count, but we all know him as the Count.
He just watches all the porn, but he just makes sure he counts the sexual positions.
What?
Oh.
Two, three. Four. Oh, man. Five. Five ways to do a doggy style.
Omega.
Tim gets it.
Omega had a joke, though. What's your joke, Omega?
No, he'd watch orgy porn. One, two, three dicks inside her.
Okay, you win.
Nick, what type of porn does Big Bird watch?
Big Bird. Watching porn. After watching that documentary from last year, I Am Big Bird, that makes things really terrible. Is there like a weird bird version of fairies?
Just say he watches hentai.
Just watches fairies.
People who look like his neighbors.
Yeah. Omega, what type of porn does Ernie watch?
Bert.
In other words, gay porn.
He cruises it on DeviantArt all day.
Hidden cam. Amateur.
Alright, Tim. What type of porn does Elmo watch?
You're going to hate me for this. You're really going to hate me for this.
Everyone's going to hate you for this.
Who was laughing?
What's your answer, Tim?
Kitty porn.
As the saying on the rack goes... Corner.
I'm sorry. It just makes sense because the guy who operates Elmo.
Corner. Corner. Corner.
Corner, Tim.
Corner.
Well, it's true.
Maze, save us. Oscar the Grouse, what type of porn does he watch?
Here's the thing. For some reason, I thought I would actually get Oscar the Grouch. It's quite simple. Trash porn. People rubbing dirty, rotten spoils out of the garbage bin on each other. I'm sorry to say, that's probably a fucking thing.
Nick, what type of porn does Bert watch?
Ernie.
Easy way to get out of it on that slide. Oh,
the other one is Rubber Ducky, I love you.
And Omega, Kermit the Frog.
Really?
Yes.
No, fat chick porn.
Why fat chick porn?
Look who he dates.
They're broken up now.
They're broken up now.
See, he wasn't part of it for 40 years.
But you also got to realize that it doesn't really matter what type of porn Kermit the Frog watches.
Why?
That was the meme, dude.
technically it doesn't matter what kind of porn any of the Sesame Street characters watch. They've all got a fist in them.
Yeah, can't really deny that.
Or somebody inside them.
Tim, come out of the corner and start playing.
Yeah, on that note, everybody, thanks for listening to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Programming note, we're on 1 hour later next Sunday night, thanks to SummerSlam. That's right, we'll be on at 9 o'clock Mountain or 11 o'clock Eastern. And we'll break down everything that happened at SummerSlam for you and give you our 2 cents on the pay-per-view special event, call it whatever the hell you will. Tomorrow night, tune in to the Wild Talk Radio Network immediately following Raw for the Raw Post Show.
11:10 p.m. Eastern, we'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
And, of course, Wednesday, Thursday night is another edition of the multi-award-winning The Wreck.
Yes, we will be previewing NXT. We will be previewing SummerSlam. We'll be talking Tough Enough. It's The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 6 now available, and Episode 7 available sometime this week. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, rackradioshow.com. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lynn's Ward.
The Rack works for a title because it has two meanings. Saturday night, midnight issue, as close as they can get to it, another edition of CB Radio.
We may have one of the weirdest segments ever for CB Radio coming up.
Oh, no.
Tell us about it.
Can't say until I know for sure. It's CB Radio. It's weird. It's wacky. It's unusual. You can go back and listen to last night's episode. That's where we review the new Straight Outta Compton soundtrack, which is awful. Spoiler alert. Follow the show on Twitter at CBRadioWTR, Facebook.com/cigarettebutts, and Bandanas. The website is counting us down to episode 400 of CB Radio, and that's at CBRadioLive.com, and use the hashtag BlameRob.
You can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. You can follow me on Twitter twice, at Flames Forums or at Trivial Tim. Don't forget Facebook. Wild Talk Radio Network is on Facebook, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Mace is on Twitter.
Yes, Mace is on Twitter, at the Mace thing. Give us a follow and see what random shit I decide to post and say on that thing. It's usually, you know, when Omega catches a raccoon, we make Pokemon jokes. Other than that, there's always the good old YouTube channel at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I get to review video games for a living, and they don't cost me a goddamn thing, which is even better. Latest review up is LEGO Jurassic World. If you've got a spare 3 minutes, you can go watch that one. And more stuff coming soon, because I've actually got a backlog of games now that I've got to play through and review. God damn it.
There you go. Omega's all over the internet with two different names, but only on one different site.
Yes, you explain that almost every week.
I have to, because people are saying, how come I can't find him on Facebook? Because there's a guy who's a dick.
So yeah, for the people who still try to find me on Facebook and apparently don't listen to this outro every single week, my Facebook is TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else it is TJ Omega. You can find that stuff at Twitter, TJ Omega, YouTube, TJ Omega, where most of my videos are, and TJOmega.org, where all the videos YouTube doesn't like are.
And if you subscribe to Omega on the YouTube, you at least get 2-3 videos a week.
At least, yeah, 3 minimum. Lately, it's been like 5.
I know, I get the email. Look what TJ Omega has done recently. List.
I've been busy.
MetroCon, random reviews, all that fun stuff. Go subscribe to his YouTube channel. He would greatly appreciate it.
And yes, I would.
There you go. I think we're done. Are we done?
No. Get us on TuneIn Radio when you're listening live, Stitcher, and iTunes podcast. Search Wild Funk Radio Network.
There you go. All right. Hey, you know what? I'd like to say thank you very much to our special guest co-host, Nick Diddy, for going to Australia and joining us instead of being in Japan and in the chat room. Thanks, Nick.
Oh, no worries. Thanks, guys, for today. For next week, I'll probably be back in Japan, so back to reality.
There you go. So why don't you let everybody know that they can follow you on Twitter, but you won't follow them back?
Because I don't use the Twitter machine that much, that's why.
There you go. Because I follow you and you haven't followed me back. Yeah, but you're at NDiddy on Twitter.
Yes, that's right.
So follow him and don't get all upset when he... Yeah, don't get all upset when he...
I'll follow you later. Don't worry. Just...
Tim's very upset that you haven't followed him. Say goodnight, Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. The tragedy.
It's not as bad as me getting blocked on Twitter by William Shatner because he's a cunt.
Bye, everybody.
Captain Kirk blocked me. What a bitch.
Idiot.
What?
All of you are friends, right? So William Shatner's Canadian, you're Canadian, you're all friends. Why would he block you on Twitter?
He's a cunt. Everybody, good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.